The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I cruise a lot and I always sail with travel insurance. You should too. Get a free quote today at tripinsurance.com.
Here we go.
Broadcasting from the tripinsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida. This is Cruise Radio.
All right, here we go. 2022. How you doing? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Hope you had a very happy new year, my friend. Coming up on this week's show, we have a review of MSC Cruise's newest ship here in the U.S., the MSC Seashore. Chad will be here in just a couple of moments. Before we get to him, though, Cruise News returns next week. Everyone's been doing this crazy vacation schedule. It's like herding cats around here trying to get someone to do news. So with that said, if you want to get caught up on the news, you can do that at Cruise Radio News, just opposite of this channel, or on our YouTube channel, Cruise News Today. That's 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. All right, Chad just returned from MSC Seashore. It was a 7-night cruise out of Port Miami. He booked a room up in the Yacht Club Suites, which is the premium area of the ship, and he's here to talk all about it. Hello, Chad.
Hey there.
So I'm excited to hear all about this cruise because I only got to spend 2 nights on it, didn't get to see nearly enough, and plus you had the ultimate experience up there in the Yacht Club. So before we get to the ship itself and talk about your experience, we'll take a couple of steps back. You're out there in Seattle. What made you want to take this 7-night cruise clear across the country to the Eastern Caribbean?
Well, we've done a few cruises on Royal Caribbean before. We've stayed in a few suites with them and wanted to try MSC just to try a different brand. We've heard a lot about them and their yacht club experience, how it was pretty nice. And it's more of like a European experience, which much international guests and sailors. So we wanted to try that out. That's basically what made us try MSC.
Now, for sure. Now, you made your way down to Port Miami. Any pre-cruise time down like in South Beach or anything?
We did fly in the day before, so we had about a day in Miami to kind of look around and just kind of walk through downtown Miami and got to see Miami itself there. But it was pretty amazing to see the cruise terminal. That was our first time sailing out of Miami. We've always sailed out of Port Canaveral before, so to see all the cruise ships lined up in a row like that, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure. So you make your way to Port Miami to embark MSC Seashore. How was the embarkation process? And was it, I guess, elevated at all since you were in the yacht club?
It was. It was pretty amazing. So when we were driving to the port, our driver was kind of getting us to where the port entrance is, where the main entrance is. And we saw a tent for the yacht club outside and told them to kind of stop there for us. And so they have a separate entrance that's just for the yacht club folks that's separate from where everyone else is. That's off to the side there in a tent. So we rolled up to there and they took our paperwork and brought us right into where the main building is. We kind of walked by the line of people and went right upstairs to check in. And I think our total time kind of curbed the ship was around 20 minutes. And wow, it was just maybe a few extra minutes for them to scan our COVID documents. And that was it.
Yeah. And what are their COVID protocols right now? Like, are you just having to provide a negative test at the pier and no testing at the actual pier?
Exactly. Yeah. So if you're vaccinated and you're not traveling with any children who are unvaccinated, you could just provide that negative test there at the pier and you don't have to take a test there at all. So that made the time a lot less. We could just provide the results of our test from the day before.
Yeah, for sure. You make your way on board MSC Seashore. And I would ask you what your first impressions are, but you were kind of taking up the back staircase, right? When you go up there, like you don't walk through the main ship when you go into the yacht club.
You know, they do take us right through the main entrance. So we walked right through on the fifth floor there. We walked right by the chocolate bar and some of the atrium. And then we went right, like you're saying, to our private elevator, right up to our suite. And they gave us a tour of our room and kind of the yacht club in general. So, yeah, it was amazing. It's a beautiful ship, lots of shiny surfaces, just chrome and glass and crystals everywhere. And it's beautiful.
And you make your way up to the yacht club, to your stateroom up there. What did you think of the suite?
It's amazing. It's kind of basically a larger balcony room. So it's not too wide. It's just slightly wider than a normal balcony room. But the amenities in there were amazing. They had an awesome coffee machine for us, a full bar that was stocked and included. So anything we wanted out of there was constantly refreshed throughout the week. They had an amazing bathroom as well, and with all those extra amenities. So yeah, it was a great place to be. And the yacht club is kind of walled off from the rest of the ship. You have to use your key card to kind of open up a glass door to get in there. And then once you're finally in there, it's like you're in a ship within a ship. It's a totally different experience.
You mentioned you've sailed other cruise lines. Have you ever stayed like in the other cruise lines premium experience, like the Haven with NCL, or up in like in a Sky Suite on Royal Caribbean?
Yeah, so we've done the Sky Suite experience on Royal Caribbean, and it's very different in that it's very fragmented. Like, they have a space that you can go into for drinks, and they have a space that you can go into in like an upper deck, but they're all in different areas of the ship, whereas mm-hmm. the Yacht Club is really just in one area. It's floors 16 through 20. There's no one else back there in terms of other staterooms, so you're really isolated from everyone else, and you could actually stay in that space the whole week and never leave almost. They have everything you need in there in terms of restaurants and access to bars and the pool and a sun deck and everything.
So this next question might sound ignorant, so excuse me, but the Yacht Club suites come with a butler. So what exactly does the butler do? Is he like your own like personal concierge?
Exactly. Like, it's your one point of contact for everything you would need to do on the ship. So you'll never have to stop at guest services, or even they had a concierge, but we never needed to stop there because our butler was able to do everything we needed for us. So if we wanted to book a reservation for dining or change our reservations, he could do everything for us, in addition to just making sure we were taken care of in our room and getting us, you know, lots of waters and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the inside of the Yacht Club before we move outside of the ship, because there's a restaurant in there, and there's like, I believe it's called like the Topsail Lounge, like a kind of a lounge place down there as well. And of course, you have your own, what is it, like a retreat area?
Exactly. Yeah, they have like a deck upstairs with a grill, a pool, a hot tub, and just a general sun deck that you can lay out on. So mm-hmm. yeah, that's exactly what it is, as you described it, with the bar. On the Topsail Lounge, and then right above that is the restaurant that overlooks, and that's a view, very beautiful space. You're right there at the front of the ship. It's almost like where you would have an observatory lounge on another ship. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing view, and they take care of you really well. As soon as you walk into the lounge, they'll offer you any kind of beverage. It's all that is included as part of the Yacht Club experience, so you'll never have to pay extra for beverages. And then as you go upstairs to the restaurant, they get to know you there. It's kind of like your main dining room. You'll never have to go to the main dining room. You can always go up there, and they have amazing, amazing food up there as well.
I was going to ask you, how was the food quality up there in the Yacht Club restaurant?
It was great. We were only able to eat up there one night for dinner because we were doing the specialty dining the rest of the nights. But for everyone that was up there, it seemed like they were going up there exclusively. They weren't even using the specialty restaurants. It was really of that kind of caliber in terms of the quality of the food. So it was pretty amazing.
Nice. Let's talk about the dining around the ship, because it's one thing that this ship does have is a lot of dining places. Did you eat in, or wander through one of the main dining rooms downstairs at all?
We did. We did wander through one of them. I think it was like the Manhattan one downstairs there. So we did get to see at least one of the main dining rooms.
Gotcha. And how about the buffet area? Did you eat in there at all?
We did. We did eat in there once, I think, for breakfast. And we kind of walked through there a few times because we were on the 16th floor, so the same floor as the buffet. So we usually had to walk through there to get to our room. So it was pretty large in terms of the number of stations that they had. But because of the reduced capacity, they only had just a small number of those windows actually opened. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty limited in the sense that every day we walked by, it was kind of the same thing. They never really had any diversity in the buffet area up there.
What is their buffet protocols?
So they have a station where you can get a tray, and they'll obviously force you to wash your hands beforehand, and then you'll pick up your tray, and then from there they're serving everything for you. You can't really touch anything on your own, so it's kind of nice from that perspective. You don't have to worry about shared tongs or anything like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And then outside of the buffet in the main dining room, there's a lot of specialty restaurants on there. Which ones did you go to? Give us a highlight from each one.
Yeah, so we did their little dining package for all four of the main restaurants. So we did Ocean K, which has amazing seafood. The teppanyaki and the sushi experience. We did the sushi one. That was amazing. They have the sushi kind of on these platters that spin around in a circle, kind of what you've seen on land. They've got that at sea in their sushi restaurant. Butcher's Cut was an amazing steakhouse experience. That was really nice. And then the last one is Ola Tacos, which is really good tacos, street tacos, really nice proportion-sized food there. It wasn't bad at all.
And as far as the bars and lounges around the ships, any favorites?
Yeah, the Carberry Lounge in the back there was someone that we kind of went to a lot just because they had a lot of entertainment in there, and it was a great place to get some drinks as well. But all of the bars that we went to were amazing. The other one that was a big highlight was Vanky, which is a kind of like a chocolate experience of sorts. They have chocolate you can buy there, but they also have a lot of beverages, like a chocolate martini, and those were amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole area right there where that that chocolate shop is with what is it, like the Statue of Liberty's right there in the Times Square area where the pianos are in. That's a really cool area too.
Exactly. I think we probably spent almost as much time there as we did in the other lounge. That those dueling pianos were one of the highlights of our experience. They had an amazing like 80s night where they're playing all these 80s hits with the dueling pianos. And then like you said, it's a Times Square lounge, so it looks like you're really standing in Times Square. They have all these big screens and ads up as if you're standing right there.
Yeah, for sure. Did you spend any time in the casino at all?
We did, yes, and it was pretty nice. It's kind of integrated into the open space there. The layout, it even overlooks Times Square as well. Because it's inside like that, they don't actually have any smoking areas as well. So it's kind of unique from other casino experiences that we could kind of go through there freely and not have to worry about any smells or smoke or anything.
Yeah, for sure. As far as the entertainment on the ship, you mentioned that you were in the aft there at the cabaret area. Any other entertainment catch your eye?
Just more the dueling pianos and then all the open music they had in some of the other lounges. They had live music per kind of almost every night in all the lounges. So it was pretty nice to go see that every night.
Did they ever tell you like what kind of capacity the ship was sailing at?
They did, yeah. So they said that we were at 2,000 passengers out of a 4,500 max. So we were a little less than half.
Okay, that's not bad at all then.
And it felt like that too, yeah.
Yeah, so when you were at sea, was there any like congestion points or anything like that?
No, never. I mean, when we were downstairs in the main areas, especially on the sea days when we were on the open decks outside, we never saw any congestion or any issues with that at all. Obviously, when we were up in the yacht club, it was even more spacious. It was pretty limited in terms of how many yacht club people were sailing as well. So that place was always open and widely available.
Yeah. Did you spend any time out there on the open decks, like at the aft right there where the Bridge of Sighs or the infinity pool in the back?
We did, yeah, the Bridge of Sighs and both the infinity pool, but the Bridge of Sighs was really cool. The open glass that you can kind of step out and kind of step on the open glass and kind of look down through it and see the infinity pool down there below you, several stories below. It's pretty scary, but it's also really cool.
Did you notice the one that's on both the port and starboard side as well, on deck 8? Kind of midship.
We did. Yeah, those are cool too because they kind of go out over the water a little bit too, so they extend off to the edge of the ship, so when you look down on that one you get to kind of see the water below you as well instead of just the pool. Those were pretty amazing.
Any time in the spa or thermal suite?
Yes, we did do the spa and the thermal suite both. That was amazing. Great massage and the cold and hot bath thing was really cool as well.
Yeah, I don't understand that because I got a tour of that area, and they walked me into the snow room, and they said it's supposed to help with circulation, but walking into the snow room and then going right to the hot, did I understand that correctly?
Exactly, yeah, you're supposed to go like right from the hot tub right into the snow room and kind of like force yourself to have that extreme experience, and it's supposed to help with blood flow. So yeah, it's definitely a shock. It's pretty amazing how fast the temperature changes.
Overall, how would you rate their thermal suite?
Oh, it was amazing. I mean, it was obviously brand new as well. So, you know, there weren't that many people in there as well. So we had a great time. I mean, I've never really done the thermal suite experience at sea before, but it was just as good as anything you'd see in a spa at land.
I've done like 5 MSC sailings before over the past decade, and it's always been hit or miss with the demographic. Was it a little mixed with like the European, South American crowd and Americans, or was it mostly North Americans?
It was very mixed. Yeah, I would say probably 40% Americans and 60% from elsewhere. So it was heavily influenced. A lot of people were kind of flying in from out of the country to go on this trip. So it was pretty fun. I think that really made the experience unique from anything we've had before too with Royal Caribbean in the sense that it almost felt like you were on a trip to Europe as much as you were in the Caribbean.
Yeah, I know. Definitely 100%. Let's talk about the ports of call you hit on this 7-night Eastern Caribbean itinerary. So what we'll do here, Chad, is give me the port of call. Give me a highlight and we'll move to the next one.
Perfect. So the first one here was Nassau. It was our first time there, and we decided to do the Atlantis water park experience. So that was pretty amazing. We got to go through the one where the sharks are and kind of spend the whole afternoon just going through all the water parks. So that was our visit to Nassau, and that was great.
Nice. And where to next?
Next one was San Juan. So we decided to do a food tour there, which was really cool. They took us around different places, like a chocolate place where they had chocolate infused coffee. Obviously got to have a couple of drinks, and then set us all on our way to do some shopping in the afternoon. So that was a really fun experience for Puerto Rico.
What kind of weather did you have there?
It was nothing but sun the entire week.
Nice.
We never saw any rain at all. So it was pretty amazing.
So you went from Nassau to San Juan. Where to next?
And then the last one was Puerto Plata in the Dominican Republic. That one was an interesting experience. We were the first ship back to that port since 2019. So they had a lot of crowd there. I guess the president of the country was there. They had news crews there. And we decided to do a day pass. So we kind of walked by all that kind of chaos and grabbed a cab and went to the Viva Windham Havens Resort and kind of spent the afternoon there. So that was really nice. I think we were probably the first day pass visitors that they've seen in 2 years as well. They weren't really sure what to do with us when we first got there, but once we were checked in and we got to see the amenities and the beach and everything, it was a great day. And we made it back on time to do some shopping and then leave.
Now, is that an experience you booked on your own, and what was included with that?
We did, yeah. It was on our own, and it was kind of an all-inclusive, so we got to included drinks and included food as well, so we got to have lunch, and it was all included in the main price there, all the amenities that they had in terms of their pool and then their beach and all the beach chairs as well.
How would you say that Puerto Plata port is like? I mean, I'm trying to think how I would. I haven't really seen any photos of it, but I did see where Seashore was there last week for the first time. Is there crystal clear water around it? Is it more of a tropical destination? Or I know Puerto Plata is very like lush and foresty kind of.
Right. Like the port itself is really built up. I think it's like one company that owns it. And so right as you get off the ship, they actually have a space with chairs and a beach and a pool and everything. So you could really stay within that area and never leave. Mm-hmm. Where we went, where our resort was, we had nothing but blue water. It was amazing. But when we did go back to the city, that is definitely a more rough city. It's definitely one where our taxi driver was actually telling us that he wouldn't leave or let us leave his site. He wanted to kind of escort us around and be with us. So it was just a different area. It didn't really look very touristy at all. So in terms of like the shops and the areas that you could go into, they had some stuff for maybe the locals, but it wasn't very much to do for a tourist. So I would, if I was there again, would probably stay by the port area and just kind of stay in that self-contained area there.
Yeah, after the cab driver drops that bomb on you, you're not getting out of my sight. Wow. So then after Puerto Plata was Ocean Key?
Exactly. That was our last day at Ocean Key, and it was pretty much a beach day again. So it just got to see their island and explore that for the day there. It was an amazing experience. We had nothing but sun the whole day. They had a escort that they took us out there with a golf cart out to where the yacht club beach was. So we kind of started there and had a lunch. They have a full restaurant there. So we were pretty impressed, having been on other private islands where they have like a barbecue and there's some grilled meat and things like this. There was like lobster and some pretty fancy stuff to be on a private island. And then when we walked back, we kind of got to see the rest of the shops and stop at some of the food trucks and kind of see what the rest of the island had to offer. And it's just a beautiful place.
Was that one of those late night stays for y'all?
It was. So yeah, they didn't leave until I think 10 o'clock that night. Mm-hmm. So they have a light show that they started, I think around 7 p.m. when it started to get dark. And that was pretty cool to see. You could be at the beach or you could stay on the ship and watch it. And they kind of overcast a light show onto the lighthouse there and into the beach itself. So it's pretty cool to see that at nighttime.
Since you were over in the yacht club area of Ocean Key, did you notice, like, where did most people gravitate towards on the island? Because you were basically on the far end of it, so you got the full stretch from the ship all the way out there. Like, where did you see the most people kind of hanging?
Yeah, I mean, outside of the yacht club space, it seemed like everybody kind of spread out. Some people like to be on the rafts that were kind of like in the middle of the water space. Mm-hmm. And some people were kind of laying by the water and hanging out in the sun, whereas other people were kind of walking around more in where the shopping area was. But there was never really any one area that was super concentrated until closer to nighttime when they had that light show. But it was pretty spread out.
And you mentioned that you had the drink package with the yacht club experience. Did the drink package work on the island too?
It did, yes. So if we asked for anything and beverage wise, we never had to pay for anything. So that was really nice.
All right. So you make your way back onto the ship. It leaves at 10 o'clock, destination Port Miami. You arrive there. How was the debarkation the next morning?
It was great. It was very smooth. It's probably, again, because we're in the yacht club, they kind of have a special place for your bags. You can kind of leave whenever you want, and they'll escort you downstairs to take you to where your bag is and make sure that you get out through customs properly as well. So it's a great experience with the yacht club. I think it's pretty unique with them. And in terms of the line, though, we didn't see any long lines at all. They had the facial recognition technology there. So as long as you stood there and kind of showed your face for a quick second, you could kind of walk right out. It wasn't bad at all.
Do you have any first-time tips for someone who is either sailing MSC Seashore or spending a week up in the yacht club?
Yeah, well, definitely don't be afraid to ask for whatever it is that you need in terms of, you know, drinks or food or whatever it is that you need from your butler. They're really there to take care of you. And what they offer is kind of unique for each person. But don't be shy to ask for what you want. In terms of like the ship itself, I would say, don't plan to eat at the buffet every day. Go see the rest of the ship. Go experience some of the rest of the dining. But we did hear from a lot of people that were kind of upset about the buffet quality. I think they were just trying to eat there daily, and it's just mm-hmm. not the experience for that. But definitely check out the Venki experience at the chocolate bar. We had nothing but great times there. Both the drinks and the gelato and some of the chocolates they have there are just amazing. And then again, it's MSC, so it's just a different culture. It's a different vibe. There's a lot of nationalities, a lot of different languages both the music and all the lounges. They were playing songs in different languages. So definitely get out and experience that. It's pretty cool to see.
Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of this cruise?
I think for us, it was just being in the yacht club. That experience just blew us away, how well they take care of you and how nice that experience was overall, as opposed to, like I said, from some of our prior experiences with Royal Caribbean and in the Sky Suites. It's just night and day in terms of the all-inclusiveness feel of, like, it's almost like you're in a resort of sorts.
So you're sold on MSC then? Like, you would sail them again and try like maybe a different itinerary or a different ship?
We are definitely booking another MSC cruise. I think we're going to try to do one in the Mediterranean just to kind of see what their local experience is, since that's kind of where they're predominantly based. But definitely sold on MSC. It was a great value in terms of our experience.
Before we hop here, Chad, how well of a job do you think MSC is doing to protect its guests?
I think from like a COVID perspective, I think they're doing a great job. They basically have, in terms of the requirements on board, you have to wear a mask everywhere in stores unless you're eating or drinking, just as you would kind of expect to see on land. And they definitely enforce that. We never at any time saw anyone kind of unmasked or walking around inside.
Yeah.
We've all felt safe. We saw people kind of cleaning constantly. There were no reported cases on board. A lot of people being international had to do testing on board their last day so they could fly home. And, mm-hmm. and there were never any announcements made of any cases either. So we felt really safe.
All right. Well, in closing here, what are your final thoughts of MSC Seashore?
Oh, it's a beautiful ship. There's so much to do between the water slides and the F1 simulator experience and all the things that you can do on board. We had a great time. I definitely encourage people to try MSC. It's a new experience.
Yeah, we didn't even get to talk about that. Like, the arcade is massive. They have the F1 simulator. They have the whitewater rafting simulator. Like, there's a lot happening on that ship everywhere.
Exactly.
Massive.
Yeah, there's no shortage of active things to do. You'll never be bored, especially on a sea day. You'll find lots to do all day.
Very good. We've been talking with Chad about his 7-night Eastern Caribbean cruise on MSC Seashore out of Port Miami. Chad, I appreciate you stopping by, my friend, and thanks again.
Yes, thank you.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, tripinsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out tripinsurance.com.
All right, Dougie, let's see what we got here, buddy. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da. Cruise Radio is produced weekly in Jacksonville, Florida. For partnership opportunities, email Doug at cruiseradio.net. Hear Cruise Radio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Google Play, or at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavor swirling together with cold brew topped with a velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. And that imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.